Good morning and welcome to the final edition for the year of Money Matters. I'm Chris Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. Hope you all had a nice Christmas weekend and looking forward to the new year. It's certainly a cold one out there, so hopefully you're inside or in your warm car. And thank you for joining us. We're here every Saturday morning from about 10 to 10:30 to discuss some of the financial news stories of the week and hopefully share a topic or two that's maybe important as you're planning for the year to come. Joined this morning by Mike Flaherty, also of Kingston Wealth Management. Mike, good morning.
Morning.
And just thought maybe for this last show of the year, we'd kind of take a look back on what kind of a wonderful year it was in the financial markets. A lot to be happy about. Probably a lot of you are happy about what you're seeing in some of your maybe retirement accounts, IRAs, 401ks through work. And, you know, Mike, as we kind of look back on that, we've seen a lot this year, a lot of positive news. What are some of your main takeaways or things do you think of note?
Yeah, another strong year in the markets. I mean, I think you go back to, you know, 2013 was probably the last time we really had this big of a gain in the S&P and the major indexes. So very favorable results, as you mentioned. We've seen it, you know, for clients we work with or participants in their 401k plans, the people who really stuck to those investment strategies and just stayed the course, didn't, you know, this, like we've talked about on multiple shows, you know, there was plenty of opportunity this year for the naysayers to come out and, you know, the market's getting weary and it's about to fall or whatever other bad news they want to try to throw out there. And for the people who kind of tuned that out and just kept putting their money into the good quality mutual funds or investments they were using, they've really been rewarded for it. So, I mean, you're looking at S&P up around 20% for the year, Dow Jones up about 25%, and the NASDAQ pushing that 30% range. So, again, I mean, all three very favorable, and it's, you know, what we hope to see from time to time. And we've talked about on the show that you're not going to get that every year.
Right.
And there's going to be years where it's on the negative side. But if you can keep that long-term approach, you know, that's how you get those larger average returns over a period of 10, 20, 30 years, is staying invested and getting to participate in years like this.
Yeah, certainly a lot of these companies, I think, were, you know, driven by not only strong earnings, strong profitability, new products that they've put out onto the market, especially maybe in that tech sector. We saw energy prices bounce back from some lows that were in early 2015 and into 16. But, you know, one of the other things that's driving, I think, a lot of these companies, even if it's just temporary, would be some of the things that we saw in the new tax bill. Kind of probably the biggest financial story of the year, kind of hits, signed into law early last weekend. And as we kind of continue to learn more on how those different provisions will lay out, we'll get into, you know, maybe how to look into that for 2018. But, you know, I think that was a key point to really finishing the year on a strong note, getting that done, something that the current administration can kind of hang their hat on as we move forward to the new year. But kind of got glossed over a little bit shortly after the tax bill. We had to kind of overcome a government shutdown was avoided also. And I think that kind of continues to kind of backstop, reinforce. We wouldn't want to have the new tax bill pass and then have a government shutdown that could cause some type of uncertainty in the market. So it was just another short-term deal, a continuing resolution that early 2018 we'll have to maybe look at a more long-term spending bill. But thought that was important to touch on. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned some of the domestic markets, but even a strong year for the international side as well, not only in some of the more developed European, Chinese markets over in Asia, but even emerging markets. And that's something, Mike, maybe take a minute just to kind of discuss of the emerging markets we've seen even just over the last few years. It kind of takes its turn being at the top or the bottom, but in a year like this, it can really maybe bolster a little bit of the return that you have. But you got to be careful that it's still an appropriate holding for more of your long-term view, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like everything else, as you mentioned, we see sometimes clients from time to time will kind of chase what's the best performing group, right? So they might look at some of those asset classes and say, hey, last year was a really good year for emerging markets. We need to get more of our money into that. And about the time that happens is, as you mentioned, about the time they go to the back of the line and have a really bad year. So for those who are willing to take more risk, emerging markets can play an important part of that overall asset allocation strategy, but you still want to keep it in line with your more, developed international markets, your large cap U.S. You know, you don't want to overweight emerging markets and have that be the primary asset class of your total portfolio. So understanding how that risk tolerance fits in and how each of those asset classes play a part of that's very important.
Yeah, I think the key word there is diversification, making sure you don't have all your eggs in one basket is really key, and making sure that what you're holding in maybe your 401k IRA is consistent with your long-term financial plan, and that's something we always kind of go back to. Need to take our first break. When we come back, we'll get into 10 financial resolutions that you can actually achieve in the new year. Back in just 1 minute.
When I ask our moms and dads why they chose Katie's Kids, they don't hesitate to tell me that it's the low adult-to-child ratio in our classrooms. And it's the experienced and patient teachers that guide and care for their children every day. Hi, this is Katie, owner of Katie's Kids Learning Center. Our primary caregiving model ensures your child receives the one-on-one attention they want and deserve. What's important to you? Call or come in today to Katie's Kids in Normal or in Bloomington, or visit us online at katieskids.net. Developing relationships, the heart of quality care.
Some of the best experiences in life are carefully planned down to the last detail to ensure their enjoyment. Retirement living is no different. If you haven't thought about your options, Westminster Village wants to remind you that now is the time to plan ahead and do your research. Westminster Village believes in celebrating life by providing excellence in senior living through a continuum of care and services. Call today to schedule a tour and see how the campus can fit into your plans for the future. It's never too early to plan ahead, so be sure to ask about waiting list opportunities as well. Westminster Village is a continuing care retirement community offering independent living, licensed assisted living, and skilled nursing care, all on its 40-acre campus in Bloomington. Ask questions and stay updated by following them on Facebook and Twitter at Westminster VLG, or visit the website at westminstervillageinc.com to schedule your campus visit.
Welcome back to Money Matters. I'm Chris Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. Hope you're all enjoying your weekend. And as we kind of look towards 2018, Mike, this morning I thought we'd take a look at maybe some financial resolutions for the new year that really do seem achievable. You know, about every year, 45% of Americans decide to make some type of New Year's resolution, and many of those are financially themed. But if you're anything like me, sometimes we shoot for some more lofty goals and it becomes kind of hard to achieve those. So as you and I were kind of preparing for the show this morning, I think we've kind of maybe outlined or identified 10 different resolutions that are actually achievable. And, you know, we can just get kind of right into that list. Look for a better job. And maybe that doesn't necessarily mean, leaving your current position or moving to a new area, but maybe within your own company, maybe there's a new opportunity for you. Maybe you've taken some continuing education classes. Maybe you've earned some better credentials and kind of looking for that opportunity. But it also could mean maybe identifying a different area of the country because, you know, when we look at plans, my cost of living is a big thing and it's different everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So whether you're open to relocation and there's a better opportunity somewhere else that maybe can provide a better standard of living. Also, though, as you mentioned, you know, maybe it's still just sitting down with your kind of your boss or whoever and discussing last year's performance. And maybe, you know, you haven't had a raise in the last few years and maybe it's time to have one or at least open that discussion. So it doesn't, you know, I think this resolution doesn't have to just consist of leaving your current employer and moving across the country and getting a better job, but maybe just, again, looking through the accomplishments. And as you mentioned, maybe you took some additional courses and got some other credentials or, you know, advanced more in your job to other leadership roles or things like that, that you could use as some of that negotiation to whether it's get a promotion or get an increase in salary. And and benefits that go with that.
Yeah, another one potentially to do. It sounds easy, but a little bit harder to accomplish. Making a realistic budget and then sticking to it. We're on pace to end 2017 with almost $1 million, or $1 trillion of credit card debt. And that's because, you know, largely because only about 40% of adults actually have a budget that they stick to. And I know when we're identifying financial planning with folks or talking about some of the important things, it's great to look at the numbers that we touched on in the first segment of, well, you know, markets did great. Hopefully your retirement accounts did well. But if you don't keep that spending piece in line with it, it really doesn't matter how much you come ahead, because if you're still spending more than you're earning, it can create a long-term problem. So making a budget, very important.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking through, you know, we sit down with clients and just kind of get an idea of what's the last 6, 7, 8 months average expense, and really trying to carve out what are the necessities of that. So food, housing, healthcare costs, what are the things we really need to make sure we're spending on? And then what are maybe some of the things that are, you know, there's a lot of those subscription items, whether it's, you know, I'm sure we all have them, right?
Right.
Netflix, Spotify, Pandora, different things like that.
They add up.
That you're paying 10, 20 bucks a month to, where all of a sudden when you start to look through your budget, you know, that can be a significant part of it.
Yeah, and maybe one that doesn't sound quite as financial, but can really affect it, is focusing on your physical health. You know, not only, I think, because the more healthy you are, hopefully that cuts down on some of your healthcare costs. Maybe you can qualify if you're looking to acquire insurance in 2018. Obviously, the more healthy you are, probably the better rates that you're going to get. But it also, you know, if you can work on your financial health, it'll relate to your physical health, because stress is such a big component of your physical health. And if you've got, you know, a constant worry of, hey, bills are coming due, or we're you know, amounting all of this extra credit card debt, it can take a toll on you mentally and physically. So, you know, keeping an eye on your financial health can probably definitely help your physical health. I'll move on to the next one, and maybe Mike, you can touch on this. Just making it a goal to become more financially literate. I mean, I think the more you know, right, the better decisions you're probably apt to make.
Yeah. I think it's like anything, right? Whether we're making a purchase or being engaged in something, the more we understand it, the more confident we are in it. And so I think this is even where, you know, working with a financial advisor can definitely help as well, because not only are you being able to talk through some of those things with somebody, but hopefully you're getting educated on, you know, why are we invested the way we are, and how can we help you, you know, with budget and cash flow and understanding, you know, the different types of insurance that are out there, the different types of insurance you may have, and how all that fits together. So from a household standpoint, you have a much better understanding of where your money's going, what pieces are truly important that you need, and why we're doing it that way to, you know, help you with your financial future.
Yeah, that's a great point. The next one I thought was very interesting. Make it a goal to improve your credit score by 20 points. You know, credit scores, I think, are some things that maybe don't get talked about all that often, but really do affect your ability to either get a home mortgage, to qualify for some better interest rates on things like credit cards, your ability to, you mean, just kind of finance anything that might come up. So, you know, credit scores, about less than 1% of Americans have the highest credit score possible, which is 850, and fewer than 1 in 6 have perfect credit scores of anything over 800 plus. The average credit score is 679. So there's definitely room out there for folks to maybe improve their credit score. Maybe name off just a couple different ways somebody can try to improve that score a little bit.
Yeah, I think the biggest factors in there are obviously having some open credit, right? I mean, I think unfortunately some people think, well, if I never use credit cards or have a credit card, then I'll have a good credit score, but you really don't have any history there to build it on. So if you can have open credit, you know, pay the bills on time and really keep that, the amount on those credit cards relative to the amount available, you know, low. So if you've got a $10,000 limit on your card, You shouldn't always be carrying $8,000 or $9,000 on there. So I think we'll get into the next one that or one of these that talk about the different cards and having multiple ones that you can use. But definitely the more you can pay those bills on time, keep those limits low, the better your score is going
to
be.
Yeah, and why don't we get into that? I think it follows well. The idea of make it a goal to use different credit cards for everyday purchases and some for long-term debt. I mean, I'm sure we're all aware and we know that we've seen the commercials out there that advertise either special rates for cash transfers, balance transfers, or no interest for 15 to 18 months. That you name it, there's different opportunities out there, and they're going to be different for everybody. So obviously, when you're making that decision, make sure it's the right one for you individually. But I like the idea of if you can use one card for the things that you do every day and maybe one for, hey, if I can qualify for some either low to no interest for longer term debt that I can kind of chip away at, it's easier to track your spending. And you'll really know if you start to carry a balance on what is deemed that everyday card, you probably need to go back and maybe revisit your budget because you're spending more than what you're able to pay on. So, and then at the same term, the longer term cards, it's an ability that you can maybe set up an automatic payment to kind of knock that down systematically over time. Mike, we need to take our last break of the show. We'll come back. We've actually got about three more financial resolutions want to hit for 2018. Back in just 1 minute.
Have you been to Baxter's Restaurant and Chop House lately? If you haven't, you're missing one of the best dining experiences in the area. Enjoy a certified Angus beef hand-cut steak or perhaps some of their seafood that's flown in daily, as fresh as you can get. Baxter's also features fine wines and spirits to complement their menu choices. And don't forget about daily happy hour specials and gift cards for the holidays. When you're looking for an enjoyable lunch or dinner experience, look no further than Baxter's. Located on East Empire across from the airport and now open in Champaign-Urbana.
It's time for a change. Bloomington Normal Community Bank recently expanded from a loan office to a full-service bank. And we've been so well-received that we needed a new location. We're still on East Empire, but now at Carnahan Drive, near the airport.
We started in 1960 as a small community bank in Morton, and we have been a resource to Bloomington Normal businesses for decades. Backed by the strength of Morton Community Bank, with assets over $3 billion, we are large enough to handle your personal or commercial requirements.
Our bank is employee-owned. That means we have a vested interest in the success of the bank and its customers, and we have deep roots in this community. Call us at 309-433-9500, and one of our bankers will answer the phone.
Employee-owned, hometown service. That's Bloomington Normal Community Bank. Member FDIC. Look for the clock tower and you'll know. We have time for you.
Welcome back to the show, Money Matters. I'm Chris Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. Appreciate you joining us this morning. In the time we have left, we're going to finish up some of our potential financial New Year's resolutions for 2018. But before we get into the remaining few, certainly want to thank the sponsors of this show that have been with us all year. Bloomington Normal Community Bank, Baxter's Grill, Katie's Kids Learning Center, and Westminster Village. Appreciative them being with us all year long and look forward to starting the new year with them as well. Mike, as we continue on with our resolutions, one that you and I think focus a lot on or try to relate that to folks we work with is having that emergency fund. And the resolution would then be maybe trying to add 1 month to your emergency fund. So if you've got 3 months now, maybe bump that out to four. If you maybe haven't got around to starting one, try to establish one in 2018. And I think maybe you can elaborate a little bit, but you don't have to just all of a sudden find a way to accumulate just, a large sum of money at one time. You can do this over the course of the year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's something, as you mentioned, you kind of chip away at. I think maybe too often people hear the idea of you should have 6 or 12 or 18 months of take-home income is a rainy day fund, right? So people think that's a big number for a lot of individuals,
right?
But chip away at it. So as this resolution mentions, add 1 month, right? So just If you've already got 2 months, try to build it up to three. If you've got 5 months, build it up to six. So just get one more month in there to help with those emergencies, you know, liquid cash flow. And then ideally that's going to help with some of the stuff we've already talked about of not needing to extend yourself into some of those credit card debt situations like that.
Right. And maybe one of the resolutions you can tie with that is paying your bills right after receiving a paycheck. I know we've highlighted that when you were talking about deferring into a company retirement plan. If you can have the option to defer right away, it's kind of if you don't have it to spend, you won't do it. If you can take that approach with the money that you do take home, pay your major obligations first, and then maybe some of those luxury items or some of the extras afterwards, it can go a long way. And then the last one, Mike, I think that's kind of been highlighted this year, is sign up for free credit monitoring. I've been no lack of stories of different breaches and hacks. And, you know, I think 2018 will only continue to bring some cybersecurity issues. So signing up for credit monitoring, it's fairly easy to do now, right? A lot of places offer it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, even everyone's entitled to at least one free credit report a year without, you know, any cost or impacting your score or anything like that. So, you know, as we talked about ways to improve your credit score, that can even be one as well. Being able to review that on an annual basis, make sure there isn't, you know, an error on there or some credit card you've never seen or aren't aware of that's, you know, maybe impacting your score negatively. So having that, not just from a protection standpoint in case there is a hack or anything that happens to you, but also just as a way to continue to monitor that and be able to kind of get an update every year on, okay, this was my score last year. You know, I've been focused on paying my bills on time, paying down my debt, all the resolutions we mentioned. How is my score impacted this year and how much has it gone up? And maybe being able to see that progress to carry that forward.
Well, those are certainly great points. And hopefully you can maybe try to enact at least one of these. But I think you've seen the importance of, if you can do a lot of these things or try to incorporate pieces of it, you're probably going to be in a much stronger position to start the new year and years to come. Mike, appreciate you being here this morning. Hope everybody has a safe and happy new year. And we will be back next week with more Money Matters. Until then, this is Chris Rudy saying thanks for listening.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.
Over the years, the professional advisors at Kingston Wealth Management have talked about the many benefits of comprehensive financial planning. Perhaps one of the areas that you could be faced with is an offer for early retirement. Questions come up like, what do I do if I'm offered a severance package? How will I handle health insurance prior to becoming eligible for Medicare coverage? At Kingston Wealth Management, we specialize in preparing our clients for opportunities as well as obstacles that may serve us along the way. If you're seeking advice for issues like this and many other questions that come up regarding your retirement strategy, give us a call and we'll be happy to arrange a meeting free of cost to explore the best path together. Call us at 663-9477 to make an appointment soon and check us out on the website at kingstonwealthmanagement.net. To make sure you're getting the best advice before you're presented with options for you and your family, talk to us. We're the Kingston Wealth Management Group, financial services above and beyond.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.